You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. I'd like to shine the spotlight on a place Pope Francis is set to visit at the end of July when he travels to Poland for World Youth Day. During the in-flight press conference on his way back to Rome from Armenia, in answer to a question, Pope Francis reflected on his sobering place he's due to visit at the end of July. It's the concentration and extermination camp of Auschwitz-Birkenau. He said that in such places he likes to reflect silently, alone, praying that the Lord might grant him the grace of crying.
Silenzio. Io vorrei andare da solo, entrare, pregare e che il Signore mi dia la grazia di piangere. È questo.
I don't know if the Lord will grant Pope Francis the grace of crying, but what's certain is that a visit to Auschwitz is a sobering experience. In an effort to prepare for this visit of Pope Francis, I thought I'd look back on the visit of the two popes to visit Auschwitz-Birkenau before him, a place where over 1.5 million people died at the hand of the Nazis during the Second World War, a majority of whom Jews. That's why in a few moments I'll be sharing with you two programmes relating to the visits of Pope Benedict XVI and St. John Paul II, beginning with the most recent of the two. Stay tuned. Haunting music we heard there in what was just one of the many concentration camps in Poland. There were many, many more, as Pope Benedict stressed himself when he visited there. By the way, the exact date was May the 28th, 2006. But getting back to Auschwitz, geographically right at the heart of Europe, it once housed interns from up to 29 nations. They came from the four corners of this continent. Just to mention a few, Marie Kafka from Prague, Sarah Komkoan from Amsterdam, Petr Eisler from Germany. Names that struck me when I visited to report prior to Pope Benedict's visit. I picked out their names written in white paint on suitcases, a jumble of them piled high behind a glass case of the museum, located within the concentration camp. Petrus had his birth date on it. He was a year old when he reached there. He lived less than a week. These suitcases, I thought, are all that's left to identify the interns there. On second thoughts, that's not really true. It's not all that's left. The SS kept everything, wasted nothing. From the interns' hair, they made textiles. From the ashes that emerged from the crematorium, fertilizer. The list could go on and on and on. Even young, healthy children were not wasted. They were taught a skill so they would eventually serve the Third Reich. But as I discovered, most never even passed that selection, were never even afforded the privilege of working in a labour camp. They were never allowed to have a purplish number branded on their arms, only ordered to undress, remember the number of the coat hanger they would never again set eyes on, and taken straight to the four huge gas chambers complete with crematoria that could handle 200,000 bodies at a time. A valley of death, an abyss of terror. Two expressions among many used by Pope Benedict to describe this sobering place as he entered the camp on foot under overcast skies. Under the minimalist-looking wrought-iron gate, which reads in German, Arbeit macht frei, meaning work makes you free. A cynical slogan indeed, when you realise it was through this gate that thousands of prisoners filed daily, heading out of the camp to work as slave labourers for Poland's Nazi German occupiers during World War II. No doubt, it must have been a tough task for a German, Pope as he walked past a double row of barbed wire fences, interspersed with ominous watchtowers, down the tree-lined cobble paths flanking the red brick barracks which today housed the museum I was talking about earlier, heading to the infamous block number 11, called by the prison interns the Block of Death, where SS held tribunals, and where still today, for record's sake, a photograph of Hitler is nailed to the wall. And when Pope Benedict reached the smallish yard attached to it, he went to the very place where prisoners were once executed, namely the execution wall. And 30 or so survivors of these former prisons were there to greet him, 61 years after they walked to freedom. People still branded with a number, and certainly haunted by that horrific memory. But you know, there's one person who wasn't there. He died 50 or so years after he'd been first condemned. A family man, who St. Maximilian Kolbe offered his life for all those years ago. And it was to Kolbe's cell, number 18, that Pope Benedict went, down the dank stairs to the cells. A row of them still stand in memory of the thousands who starved to death here, or like this saint, died from an injection of carbolic acid. In Latin, Pope Benedict whispered, "Maximilian Kolbe and the holy martyrs pray for us." But when he went by car a little later to the Birkenau part of the Auschwitz complex, where most of the 1.5 million people died simply because most people who came to this extermination camp were the ones who were considered useless to society, he was taken straight to the gas ovens. And it rained, and all the while he prayed there, walking silently alongside the tablets which bear inscriptions in memory of those who died. Inscriptions which speak of human grief, he was later to say, giving us a glimpse of the cynicism of that regime which treated men and women as material objects and failed to see them as persons embodying the image of God. Some inscriptions are pointed reminders. There's one in Hebrew which reads, "The rulers of the Third Reich wanted to crush the entire Jewish people, to cancel it from the register of the peoples of the earth." And when the German Pope spoke, the rain ceased.
Davanti alla innumerevole schiera di coloro che qui hanno sofferto e sono stati messi a morte.
To speak in this place of horror, he said in Italian, this place where unprecedented mass crimes were committed against God and man, is almost impossible. And it is particularly difficult and troubling for a Christian, for a Pope from Germany. In a place like this, words fail. In the end, there can only be dread silence, a silence which is itself a heartfelt cry to God. Why, Lord, did you remain silent? How could you tolerate all this? In silence, then, we bow our heads before the endless line of those who suffered and were put to death here. Yet our silence becomes in turn a plea for forgiveness and reconciliation, a plea to the living God never to let this happen again. Remembering should lead to prayers for the grace of reconciliation, the Pope went on to say, first of all from God, who alone can open and purify our hearts from the men and women who suffered here. And finally, the grace of reconciliation for all those who at this hour of our history are suffering in new ways from the power of hatred and the violence which hatred spawns. And when Pope Benedict XVI finished speaking, a rainbow stood out against the skyline, against the barbed wire of this place of memory. Moving on in the broadcast, as promised, I'd now like to focus on the visit to Auschwitz-Birkenau of St. John Paul II, who at the time of the Second World War lived just a few miles away from this infamous place, a personal history that resonated deeply, providing him with the moral strength to give voice to convictions in defending human dignity right from the start of his pontificate. In this feature, you can hear him express those convictions in archive recordings from his visits to Ireland and Mexico, but above all during his first journey to his homeland as Roman Pontiff. On that journey, he visited Auschwitz and knelt by the tombstones of the victims of what he referred to as the Golgotha of our modern world. And speaking in Polish, pronounced these words. This is not just a place to pay a fleeting visit to, but a sobering reminder of fear, of the frontiers of human hatred and destruction, the frontiers of evil, a place symbolic of all wars. Among the guests in this feature is a Jewish school friend of Karol Wojtyła's, the late Jerzy Kruger, who in this archive interview told me how he'd lost most of his family during those tragic years.
Respect and love you to each man, because he is man.
The strong voice of Pope John Paul II highlighting human dignity, merely a year into his pontificate. The date, October 1979, the place Ireland.
Each human community, ethnic, historical, cultural, or religious, has rights, must be respected.
The same words highlighted during the two preceding pastoral journeys abroad of that first year as Pope.
This same message I affirmed in Mexico and in Poland.
And on that first journey back home to Poland in June of that year, the son of this nation, which had had more than its share of suffering, losing as it had one-fifth of its people during the Second World War, was seen kneeling by the tombstones of the victims of what he referred to as the Golgotha of our modern world.
Golgocie naszych czasów.
Auschwitz, or in Polish, Oświęcim.
Oświęcim jest rozrachunkiem.
All victims he found time to mention individually.
Polskim, angielskim, bułgarskim, cygańskim, czeskim, duńskim, francuskim.
But in a special way, the words of the Roman pontiff went to a particular group of victims, the Jews, to a people, he said, destined to be exterminated by the Nazis.
W języku hebrajskim. Przeznaczono na całkowitą eksterminację.
A people going back to our father in faith, Abraham. I have visited the ruins of the Jasinka gas ovens many times before, he said. But there was no way, he added forcefully, I would not have paid a visit here as Pope.
Nie mogłem tutaj nie przybyć jako papież.
This, he stressed, is no place to pay a fleeting visit to, but a sobering reminder of fear, of the frontiers of human hatred and destruction, the frontiers of evil. A place, he said, symbolic of all wars. Among them, the Second World War that had touched him so personally. Many of his close friends at school were tortured, deported to Siberia, or interned in concentration camps like the one in Auschwitz, so close to his home in Wadowice. Among these, his friend and schoolmate Jerzy Kruger.
I don't talk very often about it. I mean, he, I suppose, wants to avoid this because, for me, those years are really very painful, those memories. I mean, I'm Jewish. My father was the last president of the Jewish community in Wadowice. And during the war, we did a tremendous mistake that we went into the army, that means my father and myself, and my mother, my sister, and the grandmother. They were left there. We thought that the Germans won't do anything to them because they're women. Instead, they all died in Auschwitz.
True peace must be founded upon justice, upon a sense of the untouchable dignity of men.
A tireless call for peace and dialogue, reiterated so many times during the over two decades of his pontificate, by this first Roman pontiff ever to visit a concentration camp, ever to visit a synagogue, and more recently, to pray at Yad Vashem, Israel's memorial to the victims of the Holocaust.
The law of God stands in judgment over all reasons of state.
I'm Veronica Scarsbrick.